In yesterday's New York Times, there was an opinion piece written by Esau Macaulay titled "The Unsettling Power of Easter." The holiday is about much more than a celebration of spring. Growing up in the black church, Macaulay describes Easter as the day to, I quote, "don your best outfit," unquote, and for the church choir to sing its best music. One particular Easter, he had an experience, he relates, that led him to realize that there are actually two Easters that struggle alongside each other. The first is a celebration of spring, the possibility of new beginnings. And the second that struggles alongside it is, and I quote, "the disturbing prospect that God is present with us. God's power breaks out and unsettles the world," unquote. Today's gospel account of Easter morning is, in fact, unsettling. The women go to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus, seeking to provide some level of dignity after his shameful and horrific death. They go to complete the burial rites and to grieve and mourn. At the tomb, however, everything changes. When they arrive, they see the stone is rolled away. They find the tomb is empty. And this unsettles the women. In his piece, Macaulay goes on to say, and I quote, "Easter is a frightening prospect. For the women, the only thing more terrifying than a world with Jesus dead was one in which he was alive. We know what to do with grief and despair. We have a place for it. We have rituals that surround it. I know how to look around at the anti-black racism, the anti-Asian racism, the struggles of families at the border, and feel despair. I know what it's like to watch the body count rise after a mass shooting, only to have the country collectively shrug because we are too addicted to our guns and our violence. I put it all in the tomb that contains my dead hopes and dreams for what the church and country could be. I am left with only tears," unquote. For us, like the women that first Easter morning, it can be unsettling when grief is interrupted by hope. Macaulay explains it this way, and I quote, "Hope is much harder to come by. The women did not go to the tomb looking for hope. They were searching for a place to grieve. They wanted to be left alone in despair. The terrifying prospect of Easter is that God called these women to return to the same world that crucified Jesus with a very dangerous gift. Hope in the power of God, the unending reservoir of forgiveness and an abundance of love. It would make them seem like fools. Who could believe such a thing? Christians at their best are the fools who dare believe in God's power to call dead things to life," unquote. This Easter morning, we Christians are the fools daring to believe that God calls what is dead to life. From the tomb of grief and despair, God brings forth hope and resurrection life. Now, while we might sentimentalize this transformation, clothing it with spring flowers and bunnies and eggs, and uplifting thoughts of rebirth and new life in the spring, the actual truth can be overwhelming and disorienting. It might be easier for us to grieve than for hope to be awakened. We may shrink back from living by hope and proclaiming resurrection life. Macaulay says, and I quote, "Seeing the enormous work of healing that must be done in our world, the weight of this work fills me with a terrifying fear, especially in light of all those who have done great evil in God's name. Who is worthy of such a task? Like the women, the scope of it leaves me too often with a stunned silence." Unquote. Easter calls us to believe the power of God to roll away the stone of our grief and sorrow, bringing forth in us hope from despair. Rather than a happy celebration of spring rebirth, Easter is the unsettling truth that God brings forth life from death in the tomb. God sends us forth from the tomb of our stunned silence, commissioning us as evangelists, sent forth to proclaim this good news to all people. This is precisely the experience of the women in today's gospel from Mark's account of the first Easter morning. Mark tells us that Mary and the other Mary and Salome go to Jesus' tomb to anoint his body for burial. They set out sometime after sunrise, and on the way they wonder how they will ever get into the tomb. A great stone seals the opening. But when they arrive, they find the stone unexpectedly removed. And in the tomb sits a young man in white clothes who tells them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." This is entirely unexpected by the three women. They do not know what to make of it. Mark's gospel tells us that they fled from the tomb, seized with terror and amazement. They said nothing, they told no one of the young man's words, because they were afraid. The women are afraid? Afraid on Easter morning? Where are the angels singing in glory? Where's the appearance of the risen Jesus? Where is the rejoicing of the disciples? There is little of what we commonly associate with Easter morning in this account. Instead, we have terror, amazement, fear, and silence. We have the women fleeing the tomb. It should likely be no surprise to us that Mark's gospel has added to it several verses. We heard a few of those this morning, verses that include the women telling the men, Jesus appearing to them. These verses are added to try to bring this account into line with what we expect of a resurrection account. But these are all later additions to the gospel, and they attempt to explain away this ending, an ending marked by fear and silence, in order to make it more like the story we expect. One commentary suggests that there is something important for us in Mark's original account of the resurrection, with its terror and fear and silence. Since the women do not go and tell the news of Jesus' resurrection to anyone, we are the ones left with the question, how will we respond to this account? Will we believe the young man in the tomb and go and tell the good news ourselves? Will we proclaim Jesus risen from the dead? Will we tell others the tomb could not contain him, that in the end, love was triumphant? Will we be unsettled out of our silence by this news? Mark's Easter account challenges us to take up the story for ourselves. It calls us to embrace discipleship, to walk the way that Jesus trod. We are called to journey through life, looking for the risen Jesus to appear to us along the way. We're to remain alert and open to seeing the risen Jesus in our midst when he is present with us. Today's gospel calls us to be witnesses to all that we have seen and heard. It calls us to tell others Jesus was put to death on the cross for the crime of loving, that he died and was buried, and that on the third day God raised him to resurrection life. We are to proclaim to the world the love of God that is stronger than the tomb, stronger even than the hold of death. We are to tell all that the evil powers of this world cannot defeat the love of God made known in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. The victory of Jesus over the powers of sin and death, however, does not take away the challenges and the suffering of this life. It does not ignore that we celebrate Easter Day apart from one another for a second year because of the pandemic. It does not end the illness, the suffering, and the death that so many experience. It does not change the fact that, like the women that Easter morning, there are times when we are fearful and afraid, times we do not understand, times we do not feel like Easter. Easter, however, is ultimately not a feeling. It's not about externals. Easter is not simply a story about spring and rebirth. And Easter is certainly not dependent on how we feel this morning, whether we are joyful. Easter is much more. Easter is far more than this morning. Easter is not only for the future, after we die. Easter is, in fact, a way of life. Easter is about the power of despair and hopelessness being broken. Easter challenges our fears and our lack of comprehension. Easter is about the defeat of sin and death once and for all. And Easter is now. It's this moment, and it's this day, and the whole of our lives. The resurrection of Jesus assures us God is ever faithful. Just as God did not leave us in death's grip, so God will likewise do for us. Through the waters of baptism, we have died to the life of sin and been raised to the eternal life of the resurrected Jesus. Though the women were terrified and kept silent that first Easter morning, we do not have to. We can look at the suffering and the evil of this world squarely and not fear. Death no longer has any hold over us. We will never be separated from the love of God made known in Jesus through the power of the resurrection. In Jesus being raised from the dead, we have been set free to love. The power of our human impulses, impulses like greed, fear, despair, and hopelessness, no longer have any hold over us. We are called to die to those impulses and rise to the divine life of resurrection. We are set free to return love for hate, hope for despair, and joy for sorrow. Resurrection is not just a feeling or a moment, not just this morning. It is our way of life. It is a call to conversion of spirit and heart. It is our call to be set free from the powers of this world and rise to life eternal. It is our call as the followers of Jesus to undertake this work, confident of God's love, and in return to go forth loving all people as Christ loves us. This Easter morning, in place of death, we are offered new and eternal life. God has given us the unearned gift of life free from the power of evil, sin, and death. Through his resurrection, Jesus sets us free to choose love above all else. Today's gospel is our story to conclude. How will it be written in our lives? Will we accept the gift of resurrection, the new life to which we are called? Will we proclaim the good news of Jesus' resurrection, that others may come to know the life eternal, the reality we already share through the waters of baptism. May we, like the three women and the other disciples, set out for Galilee along that road of discipleship to which Jesus calls us. And as we travel along the way, let us look for the risen Jesus to be present to us, offering us the strength and the hope we need for the journey. Though this road may unsettle us, calling us away from the things that exist in the present and sending us out into a world that at times frightens us, may we nonetheless follow Jesus, for his way is the way of abundant and eternal life with God. This Easter and always, may we proclaim to all the good news. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Thanks be to God that Christ has been raised. Through his death and resurrection, we are set free to live by resurrection life, walking always in the profound hope of his love. Amen.